Thank you for those tonight, Kathy, and thank you for playing. And we'll find a hymnal for that one. And we are working our way through. We just have a few more lessons, if you will, spots to continue as we have been working on reaching others for Christ. And again, as I've noted in the past, this is taken from Jeff Musgrave's material in The Exchange. And kind of tailored it some for speaking as opposed to presenting his material. Trying to be a little broader than just giving strictly the exchange material. And we were looking at making friends through conversation. We covered over the last couple Wednesday nights how to carry on a compelling conversation. And we move forward with this thought and go on to the art of making friends and lasting relationships. And again, I've noted along the way, Brother Musgraves is building his material around really building relationships with people. I've given out the little slip of paper, the find five to pray for, and noted the friends and acquaintances and family. He has an acrostic for the word fans. And using that to, yes, create relationships that we can bring in the gospel to, people obviously that are lost, people that God may bring across, as we've noted, the divine appointments that he gives to us, and be mindful of them and ready for them, expecting them to be able to then impart either a full gospel presentation, if you will, the ability to go from beginning to end and show forth the Lord Jesus Christ, or whether it be in really bits and pieces, but getting that kind of foothold in, if you will, and then creating it so that you can continue with that. And so build those lasting relationships. So he notes, as he brings this up, use the information that we've already given to see friendships established, again, how we come across them, and to keep those doors open and so that we can present the gospel. It may be, as we've noted, I've given kind of our personal example here with one of the Walmart workers there. We've picked up a conversation with her, and Lynn's been able to interact with her. I have some too, but more my wife, because it is a female that we're dealing with. But working on that, and as I think we noted before Easter, she had given her an invitation to come to Easter. She didn't. We were a little concerned that maybe she decided, let's see how I can avoid this couple now. That's not the case. We cornered her on Monday. She was working a cash register, so I decided to go through the cash register. I usually will do the self-checkout line, but caught her at the cash register. At least I was praying that I would catch her. She was talking to another coworker in another spot, but the light was on for this particular register, so I just pulled up and started putting stuff out and saying, okay, Lord, we haven't seen Mercedes much. I know she's there. Let her be the one that I work the cash register with. And sure enough, she came around. The other one went on her way. So we're again able to make that contact. There was still a connection there. It wasn't, how dare you come down this thing. I'm not doing this one. Walk off in a huff. So the door's still open. So the conversation can continue. So work on those. And again, bathing it in prayer. It's prayer meeting night. I can't emphasize that enough. We need to bathe everything in prayer because God's the one that is the one at work. And so we kind of refreshing a little bit and coming back on some things that we've already touched on, reminding us back in John chapter 4, verse 35. My eyes are getting ahead of myself there. John chapter 4. In verse 35, I trust we are familiar with the story, the account. Christ has met the Samaritan woman at the well, at Jacob's well. And he has had that conversation. he's been able to present Christ. And she has gone lickety-split back into town to tell the men about this man that she's encountered. Is not this the Christ? At some point, somewhere there, she came to know Christ as her Savior. He doesn't spell it out for us here, but to say to these men in town, is not this the Christ? She's making that bold proclamation. Why would she do that? Because she's convinced of the truth of what he's presented to her. This is the Messiah. This is our Messiah. Yes, the Samaritans, as we've noted in the past, you know, they are that half-breed, half-paganism, half-Judaism, but they have enough Judaism there to know there is a Messiah. We don't worship him here as we think we do. This man noted that, you know, it's in Jerusalem where the proper worship is, but there was that, you know, holdout, if you will, that possibility of the Messiah, and she's acknowledging that. And then we have a little break. Christ is speaking to his disciples, and we come into verse 35 as he is directing his attention towards them and preparing them. Because again, does Christ know what's about to happen? He is fully aware that there's going to be a crowd coming out of town and coming out to the well. And he knows that there are going to be more people saved as he comes in contact with them. But with that knowledge, he's preparing his disciples, because do they know what's going on? No. They just kind of was a little dumbfounded that he was talking to the Samaritan woman when they came out with the food that they had purchased in town. And then she goes running off. But he's preparing them. And he says, say not ye. Or actually, let's back up to verse 34. It says, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Of course, they wanted to give him meat. And he says, no, I'm not hungry. I'm fine. Did somebody give him food while we were gone? No. My meat is to do the will of God. But he notes that. And it reminds us as well, what is our will? It should be to do God's will. Just as Christ did the Father's will, we are to do the Father's will. And part of that will is what? From Peter. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he has therefore then sent us out. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, proclaim it. And so that we are part of that mix, if you will. It is the will of God for us to give the gospel. There is no question. There should be no question in our minds. If we come to someone, is it God's will for me to give it to them? The answer is an emphatic yes, it is. God wants us to do that. We are the conduit that he uses to get in contact with that person so that God can work in their hearts. And so he's preparing his disciples here. And so he moves on to verse 35 as he tells them, you know, I'm here to do his work, to finish it. And he says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Now he's noting a physical harvest. He's looking at the fields that are there and noting, yeah, there's still 4 months to go for this to be harvested. But he knows, he says, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And so he encourages them to, you know, stop looking down at the fields, whatever it is, whether it's a wheat field, a barley field. I don't know the exact timing in the year that we're at, but it's at a point where there's still 4 months before harvest time of whatever is there in the fields around Sychar and Shechem and the well there. And he says, look up, for the fields are white already to harvest. Now again, he's not talking about the physical field, he's talking about the spiritual field of the men and others, ladies that are coming out of town. Now, some have speculated that the Samaritans would wear white, and that's what he's bringing it in there for. That's, to me, that's neither here nor there. He's noting they're ready to harvest. There's going to be a harvest, men. This lady has taken the blessed message of who I am into town to the men, as it's noted. What men? Specifically, the men that she had been married to. They were still in town. She had shacked up with the last one, but she goes in to tell the men. Those are the men that she knows. But others come out because she's there telling them, this is the Christ. We want to find out for this. They are from Missouri. Show me. Show me. I want to see this for myself. And so they come out, and as we continue on, he notes many come to know Christ as their Savior. Some of them responded to her, but many others responded to him when they came out and saw and talked and met and heard the message for themselves. Who was there to assist Christ? His disciples. Look up. Be ready for that which is coming. If we are not looking on the harvest field in anticipation, are we going to be harvesting? If we're not looking in anticipation of it, we're not. And we can look at everyone that we come across. God, is this a person ready for harvest? We don't know, but God does. And as we strike up these conversations with them, God will let us know, yes, this person is ready for the harvest. Keep the message going. Or no, it's they're not. Okay? Find to complete the message if possible, but don't force the conversion, because then we just make them a disciple of ourselves and not a disciple of Christ. Let the Lord do the work, and we'll see what he brings forth as we are out there. But our eyes have to be up, looking, and mindful of that. And so we watch for those fields. And so there are many places to look for friends for Jesus. Ask him to help you cultivate old relationships, develop new relationships in which to open the doors to present the gospel. You know, it is amazing sometimes how God can bring back some old relationships back into our mix of things. And we might wonder, oh, that was kind of out of the blue, and here's this person from, you know, high school. That, you know, we hadn't seen each other since high school, and now we're, hello? We've noted that that's called a divine appointment. God's bringing them back in for a purpose. You know, you both may have been lost when you were in high school, but now you're a believer. You're going to catch up on things, of course. That can be tossed right in there. You know, oh yeah, we used to do such and such back in high school, but you know, I'm a follower of Christ now. I've given my life to him. He's saved me. He's changed me. Let me tell you about what he did. And so we can build those relationships on what God has done through these problems and things that have happened, but to create and build on those relationships, again, build new ones as we have those opportunities, and watch God be at work, and trust that those doors will stay open. Sometimes they may not. God may close the door for us in order for someone else to have an open door at another time. And we need to be mindful of that. You know, it's not, Brother Musgraves doesn't present that either. It's not every person I come across that I have this, surely they're going to come to know Christ as their Savior right then. No, again, we may be the one sowing the seed, first time they've heard the gospel. We may be watering it, helping it to take root in their hearts as God uses it. Or yes, we may be the one to see them come to know Christ as their Savior in the harvest. We're somewhere in that mix. But it's the one, it's always God that gives the harvest. And we wait on Him and trust Him. But again, we may be the one sowing, we may be the one watering. Somebody else may get the harvest. But we're all part of the product, if you will. And God blesses each of those that are involved in this. So as we build those redemptive relationships and keep that, we develop this and work on this to a point of making it a natural part of our daily lives. That we ask God, you know, in the morning, if we have our devotions in the morning, I trust that we do, good start to the day. God, where's those divine appointments today? Help me to be mindful of them. He may impress upon our hearts to be praying for a specific person and pray for that person. Lord, help our paths to cross. If I can, I can be intentional about this, but help me as I come across this person. We've had this conversation to this point. Help me to be able to direct it further and to bring more in so that we may see them come to know Christ as their Savior. So working on that so that, again, it becomes a natural thing to us. It's part and parcel. It's our life. It's built in. It's not something that, yes, we think about, but we think about it intentionally so that when it does come, we're ready to give the gospel. We're ready to share whatever God lays upon our hearts to work with them. And so we need to take time to develop those relationships with these various people that we come across with, and let God be at work in their hearts and their lives, and pray for them. You know, work diligently to get to know your neighbors. Network with new believers. You know, work with them as we see them come to know Christ as their Savior. That's the starting point. We have a continued responsibility to see them nurtured and growing in the Lord, bringing them in, inculcating them into the church so that they can gather into the fellowship and continue to grow and mature as we are. And so we take that time to work with that and sharing the gospel, helping them to be a part of this gospel presentation, if you will. They're going to want to. They truly trusted Christ as their Savior. This is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I want to tell others. I want to share it with others. I mean, how often did we have that thought in our minds when we first trusted Christ? I want to share this with somebody else. This is incredible. And we take it out there and use that to help them. In essence, you're mentoring them to do the same thing again, to, you know, replicate ourselves, if you will, to see the gospel continue to go and go on from one person to the next. It is amazing when you see that multiplying effect happen. Instead of just one person reaching one person all the time, it's now two people reaching, and then three people reaching, and four, and five, and six, and seven, and 10 people reaching 10 people. Instead of one person trying to reach 10 people, it's 10 people reaching 10 people, and again, the multiplying effect just really blossoms. And so may we be mindful of that as we work with our relationships with folks, sharing the gospel, whether it's, again, a full-blown gospel or parts of it, but taking that time to show it to them, not just in the scriptures, but as we've noted, from who we are. I mean, the gospel should be reflective of us because we have the gospel. We have the good news. God saved us. We're a new creature in Jesus Christ, just as we're seeking to see them become a new creature in Jesus Christ. And that should be reflective through us as we share the gospel with others. And so may we be faithful in cultivating those and moving forward with them as God enables us and as God opens those doors with those that we come in contact with. Say, well, Pastor, you know, I mean, I think of Mercedes. Can I sit down and cause her to stop working to give her the full-blown gospel? That would not be right. Not on her part. She's working for Walmart. They're paying her to work at Walmart. But can we arrange something to happen outside of Walmart? Yes, we can. And so be mindful of that. As you, I mean, you do work with people. I mean, we can get very hyped up with it. But realize if you're working with somebody that's working, they're working. They're not getting paid to hear the gospel. And so be mindful and watchful of that, because that can backfire and come back to haunt you in a sense and say, you know what? You're not welcomed in our community. You're not welcomed in this store anymore because you're impeding our employees from working. That's not exactly a pretty picture to show the gospel to. So be mindful of that and work at providing so that we can reach them with the full gospel outside of there as we make those relationships. So as he closes this section, and I appreciate this, it's kind of on the fishing side of things, he still knows where the fish are. And he will show us if we are willing to follow him. There's all sorts of apps to do to try to find the fish. Every fisherman has their tricks, their thoughts of what's worked and what hasn't worked. And they often change just because of various other things, the moon phase, the air pressure, water temperatures, you know, all sorts of things that can affect the fish. But again, we know who knows where the fish are, our God. And he knows who's ready, who's open. And may we follow him as he impresses upon our hearts to go after those that we know. So may we take time to do so and be, again, praying about it as we go.